This is the Anthem CDA podcast, a church in the heart of downtown Coeur d'Alene. Join us as we seek the presence of God, learn from His Word, and build lifelong connections. We hope this week's teaching brings life and encouragement. Welcome to Anthem.
All right. Today, Memorial Day, right? And I, for one, want to make sure that we're always mindful of the freedoms that we have. It's not just an extended vacation or day. As you know, we can never forget that we are the land of the free because of the brave. And as we drive by different places of internment, and we see all the American flags, never forget. Never forget the freedoms that you've been given. Irving Berlin, right before Hitler began his massive campaign to kill all the Jews and to establish the Third Reich. Irving Berlin, Jewish, wrote these words: God bless America, the land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. Let's pray. Lord, we're living in crazy times, but we must never forget our freedoms, our country. And Lord, we pray that you would bless America. We pray that you would stand beside her and that you would guide her. And we pray for this direction to come from your word, the light from above. We pray for our leadership. You tell us in your word to lift them up. We pray for the upcoming elections, the craziness of our day. And Lord, we pray that your name would go forth. And once again, God bless America. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, where we're at in Mark today is we're really standing, or I should say you're sitting, we're standing on a bridge from where we've been to where we're going. And on this bridge, there's going to be an event that takes place, and I'm going to show you some slides of where this took place. Remember, from where we've been to where we're going. So let's take a look at this. If we can cut the lights, if that's possible. This is the Sea of Galilee. And when you go to Israel and you go above that ridge as you look down, because the Sea of Galilee is below sea level, right? This is what you see. And do you see how calm this is? And when you see it, you think, oh, I know for me, two memories that are seared into my mind is the first time that I came up the Jordan Valley and I saw Jerusalem for the first time. I mean, I began to weep over Jerusalem. But very close to that was the time that we came up over the ridge and we looked down on the Sea of Galilee, a place really that truly Jesus would call home. And this bridge that we're on from where we've been, so much of Jesus's ministry happened here. And so this is the Sea of Galilee. Now the next scene, or the next slide, You've probably heard me say this so many times before. My absolute favorite place in all of Israel is up on those cliffs. That's the cliffs of Arbel. And what I want you to see here is that valley that goes through. Because even though the sea is still calm here, within minutes, this sea can turn into a washing machine very quickly because the winds that will come from the Mediterranean barreling through this valley are going to collide with the winds that are coming from the other side, and that's the slide that we'll see next. So this is the other side. You can see the Sea of Galilee off in the distance. This is the eastern side. And so now you've got the winds of the desert, of the Arabian desert. It's kind of like a massive Santa Ana winds that are going to be blowing through these valleys, the valleys of Gamla, and guess where they meet? The next slide. They meet right in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. And within minutes, that nice calm sea that you saw turns into this, a washing machine. And then we see, because this, remember I said where we're at, we're on a bridge, and we're going from where we've been to where we're going, and this event is going to take place. And so now you see what an ancient boat would have looked like during the time of what we're going to read about. And so again, the waves, no longer do we see that calm, but now this is what the disciples and Jesus are going to encounter. And our last slide, we're actually told, and we'll read this in a second, that as they went out, that Jesus was at the back of the boat, in the stern, asleep. So again, we're going to go now from where we've been to where we're going. So let's ask the question, where have we been? I could give you some facts about the Sea of Galilee. 13 miles long, 8 miles wide from where we're going to pick our story up. It's probably about 5 miles across, okay? If you were to run a marathon, it would be about a marathon to run around the outskirts of the Sea of Galilee. So not that huge. And once again, what you might think would be absolutely calm, and when you see it, you're going to say, that's not very big. But when you notice what effect takes place when those winds come from the Med and collide with those desert winds, creating a Venturi effect or a vortex, all of a sudden, now you're going to see why the disciples, I'm looking at my friend Tavis, four of them were mariners, okay? Just so you know, I haven't forgotten. And we're going to find that some of these guys that are experienced are going to freak out. All right. Now, let's see where we've been. Remember, Mark was written to a Roman audience, and he wrote for a purpose. He wants to answer the question that we should have right now. And this is really, if I were to entitle this sermon, this would be the title. Very simply, who is this guy? Who is he? Mark is wanting to tell his Roman audience, I'm going to tell you who this guy is. But we have to ask that same question. Who is he? Who is this guy? And what we've seen, where we've been, we've seen John the Baptist. And remember, hundreds of years of silence before a prophet ever spoke again. And so through John the Baptist, the crowds begin to come out. Where we've been, Jesus is going to get baptized in the Jordan River. John is going to say, behold, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. And the place is packed. Okay? Now from there, who is he? Who is this guy? Well, then we read from Mark that he's going to be tempted. He's going to go into the wilderness. He's going to fast for 40 days. He's going to emerge from that. And then he's going to head up north. He's going to head to the Galilee. And as he makes his way up north, he begins his, quote, ministry. And he begins to identify certain people. And he calls them by name and he says, come follow me. And we've talked about the atmosphere of what it was like in those days for a rabbi to call his, in the Hebrew it's called talmidim, for a rabbi to call his disciples to come follow him. They would leave everything and follow after him. Their desire was to be covered in the dust of their rabbi. They wanted to learn everything. And this Jesus is getting pretty popular at this time, right? And so we read that he heads to the Galilee. He calls disciples. Crowds come out. Too numerous to count. Jesus is now, whenever he shows up, he's dealing with standing room only crowds. And his disciples are thinking, who is this guy? And what they've encountered so far, remember the crowds will say of Jesus, we've never heard anybody like this before. His teaching is not like the teaching of others. It's not like the Pharisees or the Sadducees or the scribes. This guy is on another level. This guy's teaching, he teaches with authority. So who is he for them? He's an amazing teacher. And then we have some smatterings of miracles. We know that there was a leper that was healed. We know that in Capernaum, some guys took apart a roof and lowered their friend, and this lame guy was healed. And so you can imagine what's taken place at this time. And then last week, Neil talked to us about Jesus then teaching the crowds in parables. And you have to understand, I have to paint this picture for you so you know that where we've been and where we're going. And so Jesus is now teaching, and the crowds are humongous. They are everywhere. In fact, Jesus cannot teach from the land any longer. It says he's actually on a boat, and they put him a little bit offshore so he can speak to the masses. Now imagine what it must feel like if you're Peter, James, John. Imagine what it must feel like if you're Nathaniel and you're hooking up with this guy, right? This amazing teacher. And you can kind of sense that they are out of their minds thinking, how amazing is this Jesus? But they're about to learn that they've not seen anything yet. Because he's not just an amazing teacher. So where do we go from here in our text? We are in Mark 4, and we're in verse 35. And what we're going to see here, though, and I'm going to ask for your permission to do something probably pretty crazy. As I see it, in this event, sometimes I like to put myself in the story, okay? So I want us to do that now. I want us to go back a couple thousands of years, and I want us to say to Peter, James, and John, could you scoot over a bit? Because I want to kind of be on this boat with you right now. And let's take a look at what we're going to experience as we cram into this boat. In a sense, Jesus is wrapping up. It's been a full day of teaching. And I know just in preparation for a sermon, that I have for 30 minutes or 40 minutes, by the end of this, I'll be exhausted in the afternoon. And I can only imagine what it felt like for Jesus. Everybody wanting to touch him, wanted to be healed, wanting to get from him. And he's teaching all day long. So as this is wrapping up, I think it's about the golden hour. And what a day. I think Peter, James, John, Andrew, I thought they said, boy, we have hit a gold mine. This guy, we're associated with this guy. We're his disciples. You can almost see them in the crowd saying, yeah, I know him. Yeah, I'm one of his followers, man. Yeah, we'll see if we can make some time for you. Whatever it may be, that sense of I'm a part of this tribe. And so as they begin, remember they're on the boat. And remember, at least four of them were mariners. And I wonder if they were even paying attention to what was going on. I wonder if they noticed the signs. I wonder if they noticed and felt the winds that were blowing. Because this can come on quickly. And I wonder as they started to leave, I wonder if anybody was paying attention. Well, Jesus, we're told, now we'll get to that text. It says, on the day when evening had come, he said to them, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. He's finished teaching. He's still in the boat. And I wonder what the disciples are thinking. I wonder what Jesus was thinking. Because one of the things that we have to recognize about Jesus that our minds cannot comprehend, we'll never be able to get our minds around this, is that he was fully man and he was fully God. And because he's fully man, he can help us in our weaknesses, right? I think he's exhausted. I think he's bone weary. And he's in the boat. But I wonder, as they started to leave that area, did Jesus know what was going to happen? Did Jesus know that there was a storm coming? And why did he say to them, let's go to the other side? What's on the other side? Remember, I said in the beginning, we're on a bridge from where we've been to where we're going. And Jesus said, we've got to go to the other side. Was he exhausted? Well, we're going to find here in a moment that he's going to go to the back of the boat and take a cushion and fall into a deep sleep. I think he was bone weary. My wife and I, sometimes when we're exhausted, and I remember Rebecca's message where she was talking about thinking, I'm going to be the perfect mother. I'm going to be an amazing giver until I experience sleep deprivation. And then watch out, right? And I got a feeling that Jesus is exhausted. My wife and I referred to this as being stupid tired. Okay, now I don't know if I can use that in describing Jesus. Stupid and Jesus usually doesn't go together. But I think he is weary and he's exhausted. But then again, the disciples, and I'm putting myself in the story right now. I wonder if the disciples thought, Jesus, go ahead and take a rest. You were absolutely amazing today. We cannot believe the response from the crowds. Now,
just so you know, we got this. Go ahead and take a rest. Because you're the teacher, we're the mariners, okay? So we're gonna set out, and you said you wanna go to the other side? So be it. You're in good hands. Well, then we read that in verse 37 it says, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, and the boat was already filling. So where they're at on the northern side of the Galilee, you have to remember, during the first century, not too many people were swimmers, okay? And you gotta remember, for the Jews, the deep was chaos to them. The deep was Sheol to them, the place, the abode of the dead. Those fishermen that fished the Sea of Galilee would only be 100 or 200 yards out. They would want to hug the shore. And so as these experienced boat guys begin to go towards the other side, all of a sudden, that washing machine pops up, and we read that a windstorm, waves were breaking into the boat, and it was starting to fill up. I almost imagine Peter or Andrew, I think James is steering the boat, and I can almost imagine them saying, hey, get a little closer to the shore, man. You're getting too far out. I can almost think that they're saying, is he still asleep? Does he even care what's going on? Do you realize what is going on here? And then I think somebody might have said, wake him up. Wake him up now, because what we read in verse 38 says, but he was in the stern, that's the rear of the boat. He was asleep on the cushion. And they awoke him, and notice what they said. Remember my sermon title, Who is this guy? And what did they say to him? Teacher or rabbi, do you not care that we're perishing? Notice the we. Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Who is this guy? A great teacher? I got a feeling some might have thought, hey, Jesus, we're in trouble here. You better wake up, and by the way, get a bucket, okay? And start bailing with us, because we're dying. We're gonna perish. And it seems that the protest among the disciples were more along the lines of his indifference. But then I have the question, as we read this text, what woke Jesus up? What woke him up? Was it the wind? No. Was it the waves splashing over, maybe even on him? No. Was it the arguing of the disciples? No. What woke him up was the cry of the disciples. That caused him to wake up instantly. For us that have children, Jesus is like the mother that can sleep through all kinds of racket, but that the slightest noise from her little baby, she instantly wakes up. Ever experienced that? I don't know if it's just sort of built into our genes or our DNA, but there can be a crowd of kids in a preschool or whatever, and they may yell and scream or whatever, but I can hear my son's cry. What woke Jesus up? What's going on? When the disciples said to him, "Do you not care?" Well, he woke, verse 39, he rebukes the wind and he says to the sea, "Shalom, peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? Who is this guy?" When we think that Jesus doesn't care about us, it shows how little our faith is. It takes great faith to trust that the sleeping Jesus, when the storm is raging, it takes faith to know that when we don't sense his presence, when we don't feel him, it takes great faith to believe that he still cares and he works for us, even when it doesn't seem like it. Again, I'm remembering back to Rebecca's message that she gave us about the mother eagle who creates safety, cares for the eaglets. And yet there comes a point in time where she begins to disrupt the nest because those eaglets were not meant to stay in the nest the rest of their lives. Those eaglets were meant to soar, right? And the only way that could take place for that mother eagle was to begin taking apart the nest. And I wonder, as the disciples are on this boat, they've enjoyed the presence of who he's been and who he was and who he is. He's this great speaker, but all of a sudden, Jesus is saying, "Oh, if you only knew." And now you're about ready to find out who I actually am. And so the security of their boat, waves are crashing over. Now they're not dependent upon their skills, right? They are completely dependent on this guy. Now I'm going to divert for a second. I'm going to be transparent with you. I'm going to tell you some truth. Storms, the storms of life, they often come suddenly, like those storms on the Sea of Galilee. But they do not take Jesus by surprise. And in our lives, you're going to experience storms. And in all truthfulness, there is no life where sorrow does not come. And just because Jesus is in the boat doesn't mean you're going to have smooth sailing. In fact, he said, "Don't expect that. If you're going to follow me, the last thing you're going to experience is smooth sailing. All hell will break loose if you choose to come after me." So, storms are going to come. Sorrow will visit you. It may feel like there are times in your life that Jesus is sleeping and he has no idea what's going on in your life. And you're going to cry out, And it's not going to be the events that wake Jesus or stir him. It's going to be your heart. Because this guy, this question of who is this guy, we have no capacity to understand the greatness of God. We have no capacity to understand that in the midst of the storms of your life, in the midst of the sorrows that you will go through, that he cares for you. And not only does he just care for humanity, for God so loved the world, right, that he gave his only begotten son. But do you realize the greatness of God is that he cares for you? The greatness of God is not the galaxies that he's created. The greatness of God, according to the word of God, is that every hair on your head is numbered. He knows you by name, and he's promised something to you. Even in the midst of the storm, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. I will not leave you orphaned. In the midst of the storm, whether you feel him or not, Jesus says, I'm with you. Storms will come. Sorrows, heartfelt sorrows, you will experience. But God never says to you, you're on your own. There's a passage that you probably heard this phrase, beauty for ashes, right? Have you heard that? And I want you to understand that it's not an exchange. God does not say to you, I'm going to exchange beauty for your ashes. That's not what the intent of that passage is about. What he says to you is that beauty will come forth from the ashes. So no matter what that sorrow or storm may be, the promise of Jesus is I'm with you, and out of this, I will bring beauty if you trust me. All right, so what's the response? In verse 41, it says, and they were filled with great fear, and they said to one another, who then is this? In other words, who is this guy? Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? In the span of a few hours, the disciples saw both the complete humanity of Jesus, bone weary, tired, sleeping, and they also saw the fullness of his deity. They saw Jesus for who he is, truly man and truly God. In this short time, the observation of the incarnation. And what was their response? And I'm going to have the worship group come up at this time. What was their response? They're scared twofold. First of all, they were frightened because of the storm, right? Do you not care that we are perishing? They believe that, right? They were panic-stricken. But then we're told that they were more fearful, however, not of the storm, but of the calm, the doldrums. In a moment, he spoke a word, and that washing machine became a sea of glass, no wind. What were they more fearful of? the storm or the calm. I got a feeling they're freaking out. I got a feeling that they're saying, who is this guy? This is not exactly what we signed up for, okay? This isn't what our mothers took us to Sunday synagogue to learn about or Friday. This is kind of messed up. They're saying, we like his teaching. We like what he's taught. We like the crowds. But who is this guy? How can this happen? That he's not just a great speaker, but he controls nature. We've experienced this before. And we don't get tone here. I don't know if Jesus stood up and yelled, peace, be still. You know, shaking his fist like he's in a battle. Or if he whispered it. Who is this guy? Who is the guy that you are claiming to be his disciple? His Talmidim. Who is this guy that we will proclaim as the Lord? So where we've been, we're on the bridge, and now where are we going? Because at this point in Mark's gospel, the disciples are now beginning to realize who he is. And we need to get it. And we sing songs of immense praise. We make claims. We make statements about how worthy he is, about how great he is. Who is this guy? Listen to these words. He is the only begotten Son of God. He is the ruler of all creation. He is the one with infinite authority. He is the one with power and complete control. He is the one who has numbered your days, and he's the one that knows your name. In Psalm 89, it says, he's the one that rules the raging of the sea. When waves arrive, he stills them. You know where we're going? You know what's on the other side of this bridge? Not just great teaching. Fasten your seatbelt, because when we get to the other side, we're going to see Jesus in a whole different light here. Because Jesus is going to break down the gates of hell. Jesus is going to feed thousands of people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. This event that took place here, where he speaks a word, Jesus is going to walk on water. Who is this guy? He's the Lord. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. There ain't nothing he can't do. Amen. And we are his followers, and he has given us the task. He will come alongside of us, but we are to proclaim the name, to proclaim that light has come into the world, to proclaim that he is with you always, even to the end of time, the close of the age. What an honor it is for us to be in his presence. And I wonder now, as we close, as we sing this last song, if you would lift your hands to heaven and worship. Who is this guy? Who is he to you? That's the question. And the answer, he is the Lord. Amen. Let's stand and let's worship.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to reach out to us or see what we currently have going on as a church, head to anthemcda.com or find us on social media at anthemcda. We can't wait to see you next week.